glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name.
Oh, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Start there this morning. Probably leave and come back there a time or two. Ephesians chapter 4, we'll begin in verse 17. Of course, this is Paul writing to the church at Ephesus. Verse 17 says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth, or from now on, walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 18. "Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness with greediness." That's them. Verse 20. "But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you."
Praise the Lord.
All right. Now, turn with me to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Now, this is still Paul writing, but he's writing to the church at Rome. We'll begin in verse 1. Romans chapter 10 and verse 1 says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel," or for God's people, "is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise: Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from heaven, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, or near thee, it's even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which Paul preached, which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For it's with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Yes, in the Lord's day, they heard that he was God. Jesus told them, as Brother Chuck has pointed out this morning, I am he. I am he. They knew what that meant. They were in darkness, but they knew what it meant, and they hated it, didn't they? They hated it. Why? Because of the condition of their heart. All right, I said we were going to move around this morning. We are. Ezekiel chapter 36. And we would title this message this morning, With the Heart, We Believe. Ezekiel chapter 36. Let's start in verse 22. Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 22. We're going to see the blessings of the kingdom of Christ. Ezekiel 36, 22 says, Therefore say unto the house of Israel, say unto the people of God, say unto God's children, Thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen whither you went. And I sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. That's an important statement right there. You see, the Lord, when he saved us, he puts his spirit within us. In you, he said, before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen, verse 24, and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart, also verse 26 says, will I give you. A new heart and a new spirit will I put within you. Yes, we all have a spirit. We're alive. We have the spirit of man, of mankind. But here's a promise from God through Ezekiel that he will put a new spirit within us. And that new spirit is a living spirit, the living spirit of God. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And ye shall keep my judgments and do them. All right. I want us to notice that God takes this human nature, this heart of stone that we're born with, and he breaks it all to pieces. He pulverizes it so that it is penetrable, if you will. It's soft now toward him. And I want us to realize this morning that this requires what we know as omnipotence. This act of God to soften a natural, rock-hard heart is only possible by him. Only he can do that. We can turn over a new leaf on our own. We can work on changing our habits and the way we think and the way we live on our own. But let me tell you, you can't love God until he gives you that new heart that he has created in you. And with that new heart and the Spirit of God that now indwells in us comes love of him, fear of him, respect of him, a desire to fulfill what Paul in another place has promised has been predestined for us, and that is to be just like him, to be conformed to his image. He said, I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. See, our hearts are renewed or made new by the Spirit of God. And by the only place that that kind of power, omnipotence, none can stay his hand. His design and his will for you and for your life will, or shall, I should say, come to pass. Why? Because he's in charge of it. He has all power in heaven and in earth. When he changes our heart, I want us to notice also that he puts within us new principles of life. A new way of thinking. Why? Because now, everything in our life isn't all about us. This new heart is sensitive to the effects of sin. This new heart, because of the realization of God in our life, causes us to realize that our lives can be steered by the sin that we're involved in, the sin in our life. It can steer us away from God. Why? Because though we have a new heart within us that loves God, yet the Lord has not completely yet removed that human nature that's within us. It's in our minds and our heart. It wants to drive us and steer us in this life. But praise God, this new heart is steered and driven by he who has all power in heaven and on earth. We can have confidence in him that we really are being conformed to his image. Now, not to be confusing, salvation is instantaneous. I believe that. I've experienced it. When God saves you, you're changed right then. And you have the insurance or the promise of eternal life with him. Not eternal death in the fires of hell. However, our sanctification is a process. If you've been saved 3 days or 60 years, you can look back, even if it's just 3 days, you can look back and see that sanctification or the separating of the new man from the old man is a process. It is. We are being conformed to the image of his son. All right? Back to Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I read in verse 17. Paul said, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind." Okay? We were just like them before he saved us. We walked in the vanity of our mind. Why? Because we had, verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that was in us, that is in them. Why? Because of the blindness of their heart. That's that stony heart that God promised through his prophet that he would remove. And he is removing it. If you're saved this morning, if you know him, you are in the process of sanctification. You're not in the process of salvation. If you believe that he died on the cross for you from your heart, you're saved. And you can have the confidence that you're saved. Why? Because he said so. See, that's what makes it true. God said so. All right. Verse 19. We're back in Ephesians chapter 4. Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness and with greediness. Now, I said that when the Lord gives us this new heart is sensitive, or it is knowledgeable of the effect that sin has on us in our life and the severity, if you will, of that sin. Well, how bad is it? Well, let's look at this. It's so bad that God had to send his only begotten Son to live a perfect life to pay for my sin. It's that bad. It's that bad. And the effect of it is death, isn't it? It is. It's separation from God. A little bit of sin in our lives that we might allow will, to some degree, separate us from God. We will feel that spiritual separation. All of a sudden, it seems like God doesn't hear my prayer. It seems like it's not the same. Our relationship has changed some. I'm more inclined to listen to the things of the world than I am to God. Why? Because of sin. Verse 20. But ye have not learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him. One of the great things when God saves us is he gives us hearing ears or spiritual understanding, enlightenment. Yes, we were in darkness, but he enlightens us when he quickens us, you see. And if you have heard him, then you have been taught by him. Verse 18, those that had their understanding darkened, they had no new heart from God. One asked the Lord who can be saved, and he basically said, it's impossible with man. And it's only possible through God. Right. And faith in him, God the Son, and what he's done for us by paying the price that God the Father required for our sin. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. You see, we believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ according to the scriptures. That's important. There are a lot of people who claim to believe in Jesus, but not necessarily according to the scriptures. You see, the scriptures don't just depict him as a little baby in a manger. No. He's God, isn't he? He's God in the person of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Verse 22. Now, if so be, verse 21, that you've heard him You have ears to hear. You understand now that he actually died on the cross for you. And you believe it. You've been taught that by him because he's enlightened the scriptures and brought them to life to you. Now, you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Put off the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. You see, this is sanctification. This is setting us apart, not only from others and the way they live their life, but from ourselves and the way we've lived our life without him. You see, we're being separated from ourselves. This new heart and this old nature, old heart, they are separate, but they are continually being separated as we grow in the Lord and are being more and more conformed by him. We know it's true because the Word of God tells us that God designed it, this salvation we have, this sanctification through the Spirit, through faith in him. And he works out his perfect design by his own power. So we know it's true. Verse 23, and be ye renewed in the spirit of your mind, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So we are constantly, as in every day, putting on the new man. In other words, our energy, our strength, the plan of our life every day is to be like him. Is to think and live like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are putting on the new man. We're in a battle. We realize that. We have to put on the whole armor of God every day. We have to rely on him and his strength, don't we? Well, we always have. We just didn't realize it until he showed us. That you put on the new man, verse 24, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So this new man that we are has been created by God in righteousness and true holiness. What righteousness? The righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's all of the spiritual life that has been given to God's people is based, all of it is based on a perfect life. Because God wouldn't accept anything else, would he? Of course not. Because he's a holy, righteous God. Now, Paul tells us that we're putting on this new man, which after God, like God, from God, is created in righteousness. Now, you couldn't have a new life based on your righteousness. Why? Because you don't have any to claim, do you? No. We have no righteousness to claim of our own. So based on what Jesus Christ did for his 33 years here on earth, God the Father sent the Holy Spirit to you to quicken your heart, or Ezekiel tells us in other places, other prophets tell us, that he gives us a new heart. God the Father has the authority to do so. Jesus Christ earned the righteousness that God the Father imputes to you when he saves you. You see, he's that rock on which we stand, isn't he? He's the rock on which we build our life. Dependence on him is the lesson of life, isn't it? It really is. Whenever we slip up and depend on ourselves for very many things, it doesn't take us long to realize, messed up again, failed again. But when I depend on He who is dependable, because He's perfect, He lived a perfect life, and God accepted Him. And let me tell you, God's accepted you because of Him. See, He pleased God on your behalf and my behalf. And He has given us this new heart. Again, this heart of flesh from Ezekiel 36:26. It is a heart that's sensible or sensitive to or understanding of the power and danger of sin. That is an encouragement to put on the new man. Because you see, we realize that we can't live this life for Him without Him. This new heart is a heart that's spiritually sanctified, spiritually set apart from the old man and the ways of the world that the old man loves. This new heart is now willingly submissive to the will of God. Whatever the Word of God says, we believe it. We stand on it. We have the strength and the authority from God to preach it. This new heart is a heart wherein the laws of God are written. That's another promise from Him, isn't it? His precepts, His laws are written in this new heart. Verse 27 in Ezekiel chapter 36. And we'll end here. I want you to see the power of God in your life. Where God, through Ezekiel, said, I will cause you to walk in my statutes. And that walk is you living your life, isn't it? You not only have the power and the authority to proclaim the Word of God and to live by it, but you have the strength from God every day. Every day. Because He has promised to cause you. And this is something with power that moves us. Causes us. It's a promise from God through His prophet. And I will cause you to walk in my statutes, my ways. I will cause you to be conformed to the righteous life that I lived. Yes, our sanctification is a process. Praise God. We have the strength, the power from Him to live it and to continue to grow spiritually and to die naturally. Praise the Lord. He's a marvelous Savior, isn't He? It's with the heart that we believe. And that heart is created by God in righteousness and true holiness. Whose righteousness? The righteousness lived out by Jesus Christ and accepted by God for you. May God bless the reading of His Word today.